Prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 31st, 2013. The world is in turmoil. Most just do not realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out and see the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-870-8468-2. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. And you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. And if you're one of those 15% of the people out there that I'm told that don't use the internet, and you're listening on satellite radio, you can always just call me for any kind of a question that you have instead of going to the blog. But prophecyhour.com is like a hub for all our ministries and for the news and all sorts of things. How to donate, you name it, you can find it there. Go to prophecyhour.com and you can find most of what you need about this ministry, and it might answer some of your questions. Anyway, now for a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. This guest tonight tells me he has a lot in common with me, and we'll just have to find out, won't we? Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that Radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we have on with us Michael T. Snyder. He's a graduate of the University of Florida Law School, and he's worked as an attorney in the heart of Washington, D.C. Well, we have an attorney. That's the first thing. I'm joking. Anyway, he's best known for his blog, which I have been reading for quite some time. The blog is called The Economic Collapse Blog. This blog is a real must. It's something that once you go over to it, I know that you're going to be sharing the blog with others. You just won't be able to keep from it. Anyway, he's written a novel. It's entitled The Beginning of the End. It's now available both in paperback format and Kindle format on Amazon. Now, let me say something about a novel. Folks, do you remember I had the Harbinger guy on, you know, Harbinger? And the Harbinger is one of the number one, actually one of the number one faith books in the country. Did you know, if you haven't read The Harbinger, it's actually written in a book novel form. And so that message, that's how it came out. This message is a message that you'll want to read. But we'll talk to the author about that. Anyway, it is a book about the future of America, and I think it will shake up a lot of people. This goal for this book is to be used as a tool that you can share with your family and friends to help wake them up. I mean, come on, folks. Not everybody wants to listen to your statistics and listen to news and all that. A book is a good way to get to them. And so let's get Michael on to talk about it. Are you there with me, Michael?
I am here, Pastor Dan, and it is a real privilege to be on the air with you.
Well, it's really a privilege to have you on the air with me also. I can't remember how far long ago I discovered your blog, The Beginning of the End, And I have to say, I've even copied a couple articles out and put them in my mail-out newsletters. And I've, you know, shared articles on my blog from here and everything. You seem to be pretty much right on the money with this blog, brother.
Well, thank you. And actually, I started the Economic Collapse blog back in at the end of 2009. I was working, as you said in the opening, in the heart of Washington, D.C. as an attorney, which, you know, might seem odd to your readers that an attorney would be interested in these things. But, yeah, I was working in the heart of Washington, D.C., taking the metro in every day, working right down on K Street, kind of in the belly of the beast, and I was becoming increasingly frustrated with the corruption, with the direction Washington, D.C. was going, with how, you know, with what our country was turning into. And so I thought, well, what can I do? In those days, in fact, sometimes at work, I put on my little headphones and I would listen to different radio shows, including your show. Back in those days, 2008, 2009, I would find the archives for your past radio shows and listen to a little bit of Prophecy Hour. So I thought, well, what can I do? I'm just an average guy going to work every day. So I thought, well, I can start writing. And so I started writing, and at first, hardly anyone took notice, but eventually, the Lord opened up some doors, and eventually the audience, and at this point, it's built into an absolutely huge audience that my articles touch each day, which is a great blessing and also a great opportunity to try to wake people up to what's coming. Because I think right now people are kind of in a false sense of security. They think that things are going to be okay. And what I try to show people is that, no, actually we're in bigger trouble than ever before. And a great economic collapse is coming.
Okay. Well, tonight we'll use some, you know, so I know you have a wealth of knowledge. So we're going to try and lift the veil about the, you know, as you call it, the economic depression or whatever or coming from their eyes. But let me ask you a question about Washington, D.C. Isn't that city turning into such a huge, like, business monopoly? It's hard to explain. If I could remember the way they described it on Fox News, they had a special on it, how it was just turning into one huge business and ever expanding. Any thought on that?
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't realize that the highest standard of living in the entire country is in the Washington, D.C. area, you know, where, you know, the government spends so much money and there's so many government workers and lobbyists and then contractors and private businesses that depend on the government. It's just become this giant kind of octopus which is just swallowing everything. And there's so much money floating around Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia, Maryland, that it's much different from the rest of the country. But my wife and I really didn't like living there. We've actually moved, and at this point we live in northern Idaho, thankfully, away from all that because we wanted a change of pace. We wanted something different, and we wanted to be out of the kind of the major population centers for what's coming, what we believe is coming in the coming years to America. So we moved up here. And so we're sitting on an 8-acre property up here in northern Idaho, loving life and very thankful to be out of Washington, D.C.
Well, amen. I'm thankful that you're out of it anyway. But, you know, God uses the Father uses our circumstance sometimes to wake us up and so we can wake others up. And, you know, your little time there could have clearly been what led you. This blog, again, is really simply amazing, folks, and I'm going to tell you where you can find it. It's theeconomiccollapseblog.com. And if you're listening to this in radio archives, wherever the archives are at, you will find a link to this blog. And it's just really, again, amazing. Let me address your book here for a minute. You know, I compared your book, in a sense, to The Harbinger. Have you ever read The Harbinger?
I'm very familiar with Jonathan Kahn's work, and that was part of the inspiration for writing this novel, because we've seen the success that The Harbinger has had, or even in the non-Christian world, we've seen how people love a good story, whether it's Hunger Games, Harry Potter, they're chasing after those kind of things. Well, I wanted to write a novel that would help wake people up, not just entertaining people, but people love to be entertained, so I wanted to put something in an entertaining package that people would read and enjoy, and it's a spy story, and there's, you know, it's a, you know, people have said it's a real page-turner, but that also throughout the book, and almost every chapter, there are nuggets of truth that I'm bombarding people with, regarding the economy, regarding the Big Brother police state control grid, and so many of the other things that I write about on the Economic Collapse blog and endoftheamericandream.com. So I try to put that into the book there. But then also in this book, what some of your listeners might be interested in is I tried to at the end of the book, I have an extended presentation of the gospel, how people can come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. But then also in the book, I introduced the idea of the remnant of the last days. You know, my wife and I believe that not only is kind of the world falling apart and things are going to become very chaotic in the years ahead, but that also that God is bringing a mighty move of God, that we're seeing the rising up of this remnant of the last days, which we believe that God is going to use to do mighty things.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. I do believe that. It's common people that seem ostracized or outside of a big normal churches and things because, you know, their ideas don't quite mesh up. You know, these people are going to be the same people, and folks, I know I've got a lot of listeners out there that feel this way, that, you know, you're kind of shunned from the rest of the believers in your area or whatever because your ideas might seem a little abnormal or, you know, too far out there. But it's actually that when the time comes, the Father's going to be using you to point, and these people are going to go, wow, you're right. And they're going to be there to educate. What do you think?
Oh, you know, and my wife and I definitely fit into that category. We've gone to lots of different, mainstream churches over the years, you know, to kind of check them out. But, you know, Pastor Dan, my wife and I are like you. We keep the commandments. And we see in the book of Revelation in the last days, it talks about how the remnant of the last day will keep the commandments and have the testimony of Yeshua. And so we're seeing that combining together. And right now we're seeing that start to be raised up all over the United States and all over the world. And it's not one organization or church that is leading it or in charge of it or coordinating it. Really, it's happening all over the world. No one's really leading it. Well, the one that's leading it is Yeshua. And so we're seeing this move of God here in these last days, which we believe is going to become much greater, but it's not being led by a man-made organization.
Yeah, amen. Very well put, very well put. That was a revelation. Anyway, I think that is partially, brother, because people, you know, I think with some people, the Spirit's just speaking stronger to them, and they're wanting a yearning for the truth. And so instead of listening to the doctrines of the guy up there behind the pulpit, they're opening their Bibles, and they're reading it, just as, you know, as they should. And the Spirit's pointing to it, you know. And folks, listen, if you've never read the Bible, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but really only, and my statistic was wrong a few weeks ago. I said, I don't know why I said 15%, but 5 years ago, it was only 3% of the people in the United States had ever even read the New Testament. So we don't know what that number is for the Old Testament also, but that's the Torah. And so, folks, you need to read your Bible from the end to the beginning. And you know what? You'll find the end in the beginning because that's how the Father wrote it. But if you want to know how to clearly interpret the New Testament, it will interpret itself if you just read the first part of the Bible first. Anyway, on this blog, the beginning of the end, the economic collapse. So what do you mean by it's, you know, worse than what people think?
Oh, it absolutely is. And you know, people are kind of forgetting 2008. We had that great financial crisis. It seemed like the financial world was coming to an end. But then, you know, it was over, and things have somewhat stabilized since then, even though we've never gotten back to the level we were before that crisis. But people think, well, maybe they fixed the problem. Maybe things are going to be okay. But actually, they haven't fixed the problem. In fact, you know, they talked about back then, oh, the big banks are too big to fail. We've got to do something about that. Well, since that time, the 6 largest banks in the United States have gotten 37% larger over the past 5 years. Meanwhile, 1,400 smaller banks all around the country have disappeared from the banking industry. So too big to fail is now bigger than ever. So you've got these six giant banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, and Morgan Stanley. They control 67% of all U.S. banking assets, and they're being incredibly reckless with those assets, with their money. You know, for example, the top U.S. banks today have approximately $441 trillion in interest rate derivatives, which that house of cards could come across that could come collapsing down at any time. So actually, you know, people remember 2008. Our banking system today is far more vulnerable today than it was back then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to point out some of the articles or some of the things you said. I like what you said here. Let's see, we got about 6 minutes before, 7 minutes before break. Address this. You say 10 signs. Obamacare is all over the news right now. You know, what is this 10 signs that Obamacare is going to wreck the U.S. economy? Now, I feel dumb in asking, folks, because I already do know, but I think you ought to hear what he has to say about this. Is Obamacare that bad, or we just, you know, what?
Yeah, our economy is already so vulnerable, and now Obamacare is going to be like taking a sledgehammer to it. You know, we've got this middle class is struggling, and now all of a sudden millions upon millions of middle class Americans are receiving letters in the mail telling them that their health insurance policies are going to be canceled. And they're saying that up to 16 million potentially Americans could eventually get these notices, and then they're having to go back and buy new policies that are far more expensive. For example, one family down in Texas recently got a letter, and this letter has gone viral all over the internet. This family in Texas, they had been paying $212 per month for health insurance. They got a renewal letter which said that their rate was going to increase to $1,356 per month. In other words, a 539% rate increase. There was an elderly couple down in North Carolina that got hit with a similar increase. They were paying $228 a month. It's gone up to $1,208, their new monthly premium. And middle-class families that are struggling, they can't afford this because in America today, 76% of all Americans, according to one major survey, are living paycheck to paycheck. So they don't have extra money to be paying for such things. But it's not only rate increases. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to agree with you. Go ahead.
Oh, but I was going to say it's not just rate increases that people are dealing with, but now we're seeing a lot of employers start to drop health insurance in anticipation of the employer mandate, or they're cutting back hours where before they had mostly full-time workers. Now they're switching over mostly to part-time workers in anticipation of the element of the law that tells them that, well, if they have too many full-time workers, they've got to provide a certain level of health benefits. So people are losing their jobs. They're having their health benefits cut back. A lot of employers have already decided that they're no longer going to offer health insurance to their employees because of Obamacare. So we're seeing this huge shift. And, of course, Obama, he came out and said, well, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it. Now we're finding out that that was a total lie. And according to Forbes magazine, the Obama administration has actually known for 3 years that this was going to be the case. And so far, since the Obamacare exchanges have opened up, the number of people who have had their policies canceled is more than three times greater than the number of people that have signed up for new policies under Obamacare. So we're seeing less people insured. You know, people are losing their jobs. People are getting rate increases going to cut into their disposable income. So just about any way you want to cut this, this is really a disaster for the U.S. economy.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of things on that. First off, folks, 70, the last time I looked, 76% of all new jobs in the United States are part-time jobs. My son works for a local oil company, and he was there like 3 months. They hired him 3 days a week like they do everybody else. He was there 3 months, and they told him that they were going to give him full-time work because he kept the rigs running and everything, and he's gotten several raises and everything. But he had to wait over being there another three additional months until one of the full-time workers finally quit so he could take their place because they wanted to stay within his quota. And so that right there, you know, that's firsthand proof. But another thing, you know, I want to address this issue. What do you think about that? First off, folks, you noticed that Obamacare, the timing after the election, where we can't do anything about it. But Obama, that was bold-faced lie. Everything that I've seen on whether it's in the news or TV, he absolutely knew it, and he continues to say that you can keep it. What's that say about his integrity, or does he have any?
Oh, absolutely. We've seen over and over and over he's deceived us, and yet a significant portion of the country continues to support him. It's very sad because we've seen that the character at the top, whether it's Obama and throughout his administration and the U.S. government as a whole, it's a sign of who we've become as a nation, actually the moral decay, the social decline that we're seeing in the country as a whole. And it's a very frightening thing. But you mentioned, you know, your son was a part-time work. The quality of our jobs in this country continues to decline. The number one employer in the United States today is Walmart. The number two employer is actually a temp agency. Kelly Services is actually the second largest employer in the United States. And we see people are working harder. Yeah. And people are working harder for less these days. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, median household income in the United States has fallen for 5 years in a row. And the middle class is taking home a smaller share of the overall income pie than has ever been recorded before. So people are working hard. People are going out. They're having to get second and third jobs, both parents, and they're still having a really hard time making ends meet. You know, and this particularly hitting our young people, you know, you look at U.S. families that have a head of household that is under the age of 30. In America today, they have a poverty rate of 37%.
Wow. That's amazing. We're getting ready to go to a break anyway here in a minute. I'll give you a couple of thoughts to ponder while we're at break. But first, folks, it's the economic CollapseBlog.com, theeconomiccollapseblog.com. Yeah, if you're on the internet listening, or you know you're on satellite and you have a computer, go over and have a look at it. If not, look at it later. Stay tuned in. The name of the book is The Beginning of the End, and we're talking with Michael T. Snyder. And some food for thought during the break time is to think about, well, you know, what about those people that are still supporting Obama? Is that a real reflection of the country? I mean, that we still support a man who has blatantly lied to us? What does that say about your integrity? And I'm not picking on anybody, but we are not supposed to have liars, and liars cannot get into the kingdom of heaven. So you need to think about that, and we'll come back with Mike in about 3 minutes. Anything you want to say before we leave? Got about 3 seconds. Didn't think so.
I'm looking forward to the second half. It should be fun.
Okay. We'll be right back, folks, in 3 minutes.
Right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887. Or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License, Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas 66851, or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Well, November is upon us, and for the poor, colder weather, wow, we need donations of coats, hats, gloves, and winter things. Things that a lot of you folks donate every year. I've been late in talking about this because the weather had been a little milder, but it's taken a change, and we need coats badly. So pray about it. If you got an extra coat or two laying around the house, put it in a box and mail it to me, and, you know, it'll go for a poor person, and that's great. And, it works that way. Anyway, so coats, yeah, we need them. Hats, gloves. We also need over-the-counter medications, such as cold pills, painkillers, cough meds, you name it. And again, and now Thanksgiving's coming up. That's our biggest day of the year. Pray about supporting Thanksgiving so we can make sure that all those who show up have a huge family-style meal. Yep, I hope a home-cooked meal. Thanksgiving with all the trimmings. My wife and others get in there, and they just do it all, you know. Once in a while, somebody will sneak in a pie from a store, but not very often. And especially this year, excuse me, we have a young lady that has been coming with her dad and her sisters and brothers to Sabbath service and volunteering and helping out. And this girl can cook pies like you wouldn't believe. And so, man, we're going to have a lot of good sweets, making me hungry. But you know what? I think I want to throw in here real quick. You know what Yeshua said about feast? It's recorded in Luke 14. Actually, it starts at Luke Luke 14:12. Let's read you a couple of verses. Then said he also unto him, and bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends or thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and recompense thee, be made to thee. In other words, they could pay you out. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee or repay thee, for thou shalt be recompensed or repaid at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at his meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of Yahweh. So we're blessed by helping those people. I know that this is our 14th year. Thanksgiving was one of my favorite, it still is one of my favorite holidays, even though it's not recorded in the Bible. But, you know, any day that we gather and give thanks to the Father, that's great. And it's also, I believe it was based on the Feast of Tabernacles. But anyway, going back to that. So we give thanks, and I know it was always a family day to me. I couldn't wait to get together with all kinds of family on Thanksgiving and have a huge meal and maybe go plop down in front of the TV while everybody watched football. I usually passed out because I've just never been a sports nut. But anyway, so it was a family time, and we really enjoyed it. Well, I still really enjoy it because I am doing what the Father tells me to do, and I'm taking care of the poor on that day. So we greatly look forward to being with the family of poor that come to our mission church looking for the thing that, one of the biggest things that they get lose, and that's being treated as family. And so why did so many people come to us for help? Well, love is the first answer, and then it's that treating as family is the second. Beyond that, really have no set guidelines like programs. People walk in the door and see what we have. They ask if there's something there that we don't have. Then if we don't have it, well, we pray it in. This is why the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send people to us. People have millions of dollars in their budget, send people to a place that really has no budget. Folks, we are responsible, the last hope for so many. We're all responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers' keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And your Father, Yahweh, notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online by mailing a check or money order. You can find all this information out at our hub, which is prophecyhour.com. Or you can call me at 620-878-4682 if you need to. Now, remember, you know, you don't have to send in a huge donation. I mean, huge donations are nice, don't get me wrong. But listen, $20 here, $30 there, it all adds up. $100, praise the Father. All those donations don't add up. And don't think that your donation don't count, because every donation counts. Anyway, enough of me talking. We're now back with Michael T. Snyder talking about his book, The Beginning of the End. And, well, this is the beginning of the end of the second half. Are you there, Mike?
I am here. And I just wanted to underline what you just said, Pastor Dan. And, in fact, when Pastor Dan and I were emailing him, I let him know that I've actually been a supporter of Pastor Dan financially for a number of years. And I want to encourage those that are listening to financially support his ministry, because there's a greater need than ever before in this country. In fact, we just had the new numbers which just came out, which showed that right now there are 1.2 million public school students in America that are homeless. These are just little children that are homeless. And that number has risen by 72% since the start of the last recession. So there are so many people out there that are hurting today. In fact, one recent study found that nearly half of all public school students in the United States come from low-income homes. So people are hurting. People are not able to take care of themselves like they used to in the old days in America. In fact, according to the latest numbers from the Census Bureau, the number of people receiving means-tested welfare benefits in the United States today is greater than the total number of full-time workers in our country. And in other words, what that means is the number of people who are getting welfare is greater than the number of people that have a full-time job. That's hard to believe, but that's actually true in the United States today.
Absolutely. A couple of things real quick before we go on with your book. Folks, this week there's a magazine that just came out. They dropped it off at my office. It's called the Wichita Magazine. And this reporter had called me about 3 weeks ago, or it's been longer than 3 weeks, about a month ago, and asked me about the police team they have over there called the Hot Team that deals with the homeless. And I made some comments, which, you know, I felt bad for them because of the resources, and I'm not going to go into the whole article. But I was amazed because this was the first news magazine or TV, radio, anything that ever actually told what I said in the magazine. And in the magazine, they pointed out that there women, when they go homeless in Wichita, is what I told them, only about 1% of the time can they find a bed. And I called it Wichita's Dirty Little Secret. And they printed it in the magazine. You know, I'm waiting to get feedback from these agencies over it. But because it's a major magazine in Wichita. But, you know, I'm praying, and this is what I want you folks to do, pray that the truth does go out there, because there are good people in Wichita that would help if they can just get beyond the media lies and the agency lies. Okay, back to you, and let's go into the second half of the program, and tell them about what's most on your heart in this. You got, this is your time. What's most on your heart to tell the people?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know, people that visit my websites regularly, such as you, Pastor Dan, they see all these articles about the economy, or I write about the police state, the loss of our freedoms, or about so many of these other things which are in the news. Now, the reason I'm doing that is not for people to be fearful, not to, because sometimes people say, oh, you're just spreading fear. That's not it at all. I believe that there's hope in understanding what's happening and hope in getting prepared, but ultimately, what I'm attempting to do is by getting these articles, and my articles just don't show up on my website. They show up on Alex Jones's website. They show up on Steve Quayle's website. And throughout the alternative media world, my articles spread all over the place. But my hope is that people will come back and then find the resources on my websites and the other things I point them to, where they can get spiritual preparation for the last days, where people, if they don't know the Messiah, if they don't know Yeshua, that they can find salvation in Him. And I try very hard to be an evangelistic ministry, but also a last days ministry. And what the internet is a lot of bad things. The internet is terrible in so many ways. What the internet has also provided is for people like us, average people like me, Pastor Dan, everyone else, to communicate with one another on a mass scale like we've never seen in all of history. And so we can connect one to another, those that keep the commandments of God, that boldly proclaim the gospel, and that believe in the supernatural power of God. We can contact one another. For example, I've never met Pastor Dan in person, but I discovered him through the internet. Now I financially support his ministry. Other people, you know, I can sit in my home here in North Idaho and type stuff out about the economy, and people halfway across the world will read it. So it's a way for us to connect with one another, and it's a way for the remnant, those that are seeking God with all their hearts, to interact with one another. And my wife and I, you know, we work very hard, and we believe that God is going to bring the greatest move of God the world has ever seen, even as the world falls apart, economic collapse, natural disasters, pandemics, war, all the things that are coming. They're going to be terrible. They're going to be incredibly challenging. But don't cower in fear. Don't just run and hide. It's going to be a great opportunity, a great harvest, because people are going to be shaken. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. There's going to be millions upon millions of people that are out there looking for answers, looking for solutions, looking for some hope. And it'll be an opportunity for those of us that are part of the remnant of the last days, to be there to be able to offer them the gospel of Yeshua and be able to give them answers at a time when they'll desperately need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, folks. That's extremely true. What we understand is that there's going to be people that, you know, now, amen, I'm glad people are going to church, especially in this day and age. It saddens me that, you know, really every every pastor should be talking about the time we're in instead of dodging issues like dodging the issues of Christians being slaughtered all over the world. And they really do that because some of the people that I know that travel to those places have been on this radio program and said, you know, in over 50% of the churches, they won't even talk to them or let them in the door. And their mission, you know, that used to be, well, to support the missionaries that were supporting their thing. But they won't even let them in the door because it doesn't go along with their narrative that, you know, they're going to fly out before everything happens and they're not going to go through any trouble. So when the time does come, and I believe it's due, it's well upon us, it could fall completely apart at any second. I think that it is, if you lift the veil from your eyes and you look at all the sin, lift the veil from your eyes. We talked earlier in a program before our talk with a minister, another minister. And this minister, we were talking about how, you know, almost so much nudity and all the vampire things and all these other things, all the sin out there. If you just lifted the veil from your eyes and looked through the eyes of, say, maybe your great-great-great-grandmother, and see what she would have thought about the world, you would know what I'm seeing and what the Father sees. You know, people lie and cheat and steal, and they act like it's nothing, and they still claim to know Christ. Well, they don't. So when this all completely is revealed, so to speak, with that greater shaking that's going on, then people are going to run out of their churches. Then they're not going to listen to that man no longer. And they're going to be looking for the truth. And I believe some of them will throw their Bibles away. But I believe an even greater number of them will be knocking on the remnant's door, like you, Michael, and wanting to know, hey, what was that you said? What did you tell me? Back to you.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I issue such strong warnings, is because people will remember the warnings when things start happening. And so, like you, Pastor Dan, I consider myself a watchman on the wall. From my little spot on the wall, I'm doing my best to try to shout as loud as I can about what is coming, about the economic collapse, about the social decay that's coming, about everything that's coming up, so that when it starts happening, that people will come back to us and say, hey, you warned about this ahead of time. You know, tell me about it. Tell me about, you know, your Savior, Yeshua. And so, you know, I'm doing my best. And you talk about persecution. Persecution is coming to this country, too. You know, just a couple weeks ago, on October 17th, soldiers at Fort Hood were, during a briefing, sat down, and they were instructed that evangelical Christians are a threat to this nation. And for about a half an hour, soldiers that were there said that the person giving the presentation went on and on and on about how evangelical Christians and groups like the American Family Association are tearing this country apart. And a while back I wrote another article, because this just wasn't a one-time incident. This has been going on, especially since Obama's been president. I wrote an article entitled 72 Types of Americans That Are Considered Potential Terrorists in Official Government Documents. And I listed 72 types of Americans that in official government documents, Department of Homeland Security, U.S. military, et cetera, you know, they list libertarians, Christians, those involved in the Tea Party, those opposed to abortion, those who are against illegal immigration, those who are against the New World Order, those who believe that we're living in the end times. All of those categories of people, they're listed as extremists and potential terrorists in official U.S. government documents. And when you look at it all together, as I presented in the article I talked about, it's really absolutely stunning how our own government is turning against us, and they consider us to be a threat. Now, in the old days, they said, oh, terrorists, that's in the Middle East, that's Al-Qaeda in the Middle East. But now that's totally changing, and the target is being put on people who believe in the Constitution, people who believe in the Bible, right here in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. If folks can just, you know, open your – what I'm telling you is open your eyes and look. People are so overwhelmed with all your electronics and everything. You know that most of you probably haven't ever read the book about Big Brother, you know, George Orwell's book. I mean, come on. You haven't read that? You should read that book. You can see the movie. That will wake you up. Big Brother is here. It's watching you. It's just like, you know, we hear, I don't know if you heard the one about the principal that was looking in on his students with school laptops that they had loaned him through their video cameras, you know, that are in the laptops. You know, folks, if you use a video camera, there's a site that I know of that will go on and teach you how to hack other people's video cameras. And so while you're sitting there in front of your blog, or in front of your screen, and you got that camera up there, even if it's not on, if it's plugged in to electric or whatever, they can turn it on and they can look at you. Well, you think that while the NSA and all that, they're just saying, oh, we're not really looking at you. We're just storing information. Well, I got some swampland over here in Kansas, I want to sell you, but if you believe that. Point being is they can look at you at any time. Big Brother is already here. So, you know, if you've already got an electronic map out there for yourself, don't think you're going to go shut off your computers and all that stuff and forget about it, because they've already mapped you. If you use a cell phone, you've got an electronic footprint. If you use a computer, you have an electronic footprint. Anything that's hooked up to the Internet has an electronic footprint. And what are we doing? We're rallying, because soon our air conditioners and, well, our electric meters in our house, they knocked on your door and say, you want a new smart meter? I turned them down. I didn't want one. But those smart meters are turned up so they can actually turn up and down your electricity, you know, your heat themselves. It's everywhere. So you need to wake up. And the only thing that's going to get you right is being right with Yeshua. Get away from all the entertainment. Entertainment's fine in moderation, but you need to get close to Yeshua. Back to you.
Yeah, and I want to underline that point. You know, people need to kind of break out of the matrix, because in the United States today, the average American watches approximately 153 hours of television every single month. That's an astounding amount of television. And then we've got, you know, our smartphones, we've got the Internet, we've got our movies and video games. We're absolutely addicted to entertainment. And then when you consider what we're being fed through these things, for example, just take television, more than 90% of what you see on television, whether it's the networks, cable channels, whatever it is, at the very top, more than 90% of it is being controlled by just six gigantic media corporations. And they're owned by the big banks, the global elite, and they have an agenda. They want you, they want to shape and change and influence what you think. And they don't call it programming for no reason. So people need to kind of break away from that and get into the Word of God like never before, as Pastor Dan said earlier, and get into prayer. People, you know, our churches have become prayerless to a very large degree. We need to become more dedicated to prayer and seeking after the Lord than ever before.
Absolutely. And another word about, you know, they're making you to where you believe that these things are normal and okay. Like, you know, that stupid show, they were talking about how bad it was in a TV guide and all over the place. This last week they had a mom have incest with her zombie son. They had bestiality in it and all kinds of sorts of things. And they did have a bunch of viewers say they weren't going to watch it anymore. But what about the ones that do watch it? Is that garbage good for you? They're ruining your brain by doing that. And look at all the vampire stuff. Have you ever seen so much vampire stuff before? I mean, and they look like good guys, you know?
Oh, it's very true. We're seeing an explosion of interest in all kinds of things that are the occult. Whether it's witches, vampires, zombies, you know, we're seeing it in our movies, our television shows. There's more of an interest in these things in the United States than ever before. In fact, I just wrote an article the other day about how the fastest growing religion in America today is actually witchcraft. Wicca is actually the fastest growing religion. Now, Islam is the fastest growing major religion, but Wicca is actually the fastest growing religion overall. In fact, it's been estimated that the number of Americans that are Wiccans is doubling every 30 months. And, you know, it's been estimated that today there are more than 200,000 registered witches in this country and approximately 8 million unregistered practitioners of Wicca. And that's just one form of witchcraft. Of course, there are many more other darker forms of witchcraft which are experiencing tremendous growth as well. So there's this tremendous thirst for the supernatural, and people are drawn to the darkness. They go to a lot of churches. They don't see any supernatural stuff going on. They don't see the power of God, but then they go and they get involved in some of this other stuff that Harry Potter and other things opens the door for them, and they're attracted to that because they can see the power. Well, what we need to be doing as the body of Yeshua, we need to be also demonstrating the power of the Almighty, which is far greater than the power of darkness. And when we start doing that the biblical way, that'll start drawing people back once they see that, you know, God was just not active and powerful in the days of the Bible, but he's doing the exact same things today.
Yes, amen. And that's what's wrong with America. You know, in other countries, we're seeing miracles of people even being risen from the dead. But the faith is strong. But faith here, you know, it's they're relying on a band or some other form of entertainment in the church instead of using the word and instead of asking the Holy Spirit to fall on them and for praying for one another and for healings. And those things are supposed to be going on. Let me tell you what you should find in a so-called church. You know, but church isn't a building anyway. Church is the body of Messiah. That's what it's supposed to be. But your gathering place. You should find people reading out of the Bible. You should have other people being able to make comments on it and input from others. You should have praise and worship that is real praise and worship, not just some modern thing, but which, you know, you need to have good music that will bring out the Spirit. You need to have prayer, and more prayer. You need people praying on each other. You need love abounding. And people should know each other like family. The larger the church, the less family it's like. I mean, look at Yeshua. Actually, he had 12 disciples and then some other people that followed him around. But, you know, you wouldn't call it a mega church that he ministered to. Maybe so in some places, but, you know, it's a remnant. Well, Michael, it's good for you to be on with me. Got about a minute for final words.
Yeah, I'd encourage people to check out my book, The Beginning of the End. It's available on Amazon.com, and I've written it for the remnant. If you think you're part of that remnant that's going to keep the commandments of God, boldly proclaim the gospel, and demonstrate the power of God in this generation, I encourage you to check out my book and then contact me. Write to me. I want to network with people because we need to network with one another, those that are a part of the remnant of the last days. So please check out my book. Contact me. I'd love to hear from you.
Yes, amen. And I encourage everybody to go over and visit with you, Michael. And that's a real good thing. I've been trying to look for some people that are trying to figure out or pray in a way that we can, you know, start hooking people up, you know, not like a social network, but not, but of end time believers, you know, so we can know where everybody is at. Well, thanks for being on, Mike. Maybe you'll come back on again sometime. And thanks for all the support you've given me, and be blessed, brother. All right, folks, we must remember, I guess he's already off, we must remember there is only one God. He is the Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. Got that? Repented sins. Then we're supposed to turn away from sin, right, as we go on. You can't continue on in sin, doing those things over and over. Anyway, so he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's very important. That's the only sign given to a wicked and adulterous generation. And just as Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so would Yeshua be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Through him, and only through him, the risen Messiah is the way through the Father. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, like praying for Messiah's return. Get this book, The Beginning of the End. Pray about supporting the mission church. We could use your help tonight. Pray about it. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66.
866-308-6851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.